And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Welcome to the Daily Ding here on the Athletic NBA Show. I am Jared Weiss. I am joined by Mark Schindler. We have Danielle Lehman producing the show. We're going to start in the ATL, where the Hawks beat the Pistons 118-113. A great first half from Cade Cunningham. Then in the second half, it's Trae Young and DeJounte Murray.
Yeah, this game was fun, but in an ugly way. I think both these teams are really trying to find what their identities are going to be this year, and I think the Hawks are showing more signs of life defensively than they did at really any point last year. Cade, as you mentioned, was really good in the first half. Had 22 in the first half. Was kind of getting anything he wanted on switches, getting to the rim, getting to his pull up, hitting his threes. Got to the line a little bit too, but then the Hawks were really able to kind of key in on him a little bit. They really didn't have to worry about anybody outside of Bojan Bogdanović today. Sadiq had a couple of nice drives, but for the most part, they were able to really get in on him. And I mean, John Collins had a chase down block on Cade towards the end of the game that ended up being sort of the game decider that allowed them to go up two possessions instead of just by one. And like you mentioned with DeJounte, like his defensive fit overall, I think they're still kind of finding the offense, but he had some huge plays stripping Cade late. Had a block shot on Bojan towards the end of the game as well. Continues to just look really exciting with this team.
Yeah, between Murray and Justin Holiday, it's like they have defensive depth on the perimeter. It's weird, but nice to see from Atlanta.
Yeah, and we're still trying to... I think DeAndre Hunter had a little bit of an off and on game. I thought he did some good things, but still trying to find more of, you know, doing things a little bit quicker. He ended up fouling out tonight. But Clint Capella, man, like one of the things that has me excited about this team, Clint Capella had a really slow start to the season last year and the year before. This year, not so much. The box score isn't anything crazy, but the four blocks all came in the second half. He was dominant in starting to shut down the driving lanes that Cade had found in the first half, and continues just to be a massive defensive force for them, which is essential for if they're really going to find things. And shout out to Onyeka Okongwu too. His plus-minus was absolute dog shit tonight, but he played a lot better than I think you'd expect out of that. Interested to see how they keep integrating him.
Yeah, they had 12 blocks. That's a lot of blocks. Four for Collins, four for Capella. They also both had 10-plus rebounds. I mean, the bigs are holding it down for Atlanta. Atlanta's, I guess, overall identity, they're still trying to find it. But do you like what you're seeing so far?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because it feels a little bit my turn, your turn, trying to find the offense between DeJounte and Trae. I think they're trying to stagger it more with bench lineups. I mean, Trae, again, though, like he really took over down the stretch. I think, like you mentioned with the identities, I'm a little bit saying disappointed in Detroit feels a little far considering how young of a team they are. But I was expecting their defense to be further ahead than it is right now. I think that they picked it up a little bit in the second half, but especially in that fourth quarter, I felt Trae was really able to get to them. And they had no real answer for John Collins. I mean, John was fantastic attacking off of offensive rebounds that Clint got and kicked back out. They really didn't have anybody who could just match up with a true forward size guy. So I'm looking to see Detroit really lean into that as well.
I mean, their front court is still small. It's Bogdanović, Bay, Stewart, and then, you know, Cunningham. I guess you can consider Cade maybe a bigger guy in the, you know, he at least has a size that he can impact in the interior at some point. And Jalen Duren's probably not going to be there yet. But
he was good tonight, though, man. Yeah. I mean, he continues to have fun flashes, but I agree. He's a little ways off.
Yeah. And, you know, who knows what different this game would be if Sadiq Bay hit at least that first free throw there at the end. You know, gave him a chance that didn't go well, but he, this Detroit team, they're going to get They're going to get good nights from Bojan Bogdanovic. Obviously, things run through Cade. They're obviously, after trading Jeremy Grant, there just isn't that secondary guy yet. And it still kind of changes night to night.
Yeah. Yeah, and they definitely missed Jaden Ivey tonight. I think that would have given them a dynamic that could have really eviscerated some things in the half court. But agreed, like, I mean, Killian Hayes, try as he might, there was not a lot going for him offensively tonight.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23. For a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
Nets out and running. Irving. Simmons didn't even look at the basket, but that's a good decision to get it to KD, who gets it to fall.
All right, let's head over to Brooklyn, where the Bucks won 110-99 over the Nets. Giannis, 43 points. 14 boards, 5 assists, 3 blocks, 1 steal. So a normal Giannis night, essentially.
Is that good? I think that's good. I've heard that's good.
It's just good, though, with Giannis. It's not great. Any other player in the league, you'd be like, holy shit. But with Giannis, it's like, oh, another good night for Giannis.
You also forgot the most important part of the box score. Forced a double technical on Steve Nash. some say that he's still screaming in the bowels of Barclays Center. Yeah, that performance from Giannis overall was pretty unreal. I thought in the first half, I mean, Brooklyn held the Bucks to 43 points in that first half, and a lot of that was shutting down some stuff that Giannis had going, forcing him to pick up the ball earlier than they wanted him to. And then in the second half, I mean, he's starting his drives from outside the arc in the slot. The stuff he was doing in transition was just kind of otherworldly. I think it was very much so one of those nights watching him where you just kind of have to sit back and go, like, you know, it feels routine watching Giannis put up 35, 40 points. But then tonight was one of those nights for me watching a national game where it's like, it's just special. Like, there was not a lot you could do against it. We can definitely talk about Ben Simmons and some of the things he could have done differently. And I mean, this whole team in general, to be fair. But this was a really, really rough second half for the Nets.
All right, you teed up Ben Simmons. Let's get into Ben Simmons. It's just fascinating. And we obviously have to have patience with this guy. It's been a while since he's played basketball. He needs time to get acclimated. But when Kyrie Irving is literally yelling, shoot it, Ben, when he kind of fumbled it towards Ben. It wasn't like it was a clean drop off, but that was really shocking. But I want to read off a quick quote here from Kyrie after the game. You guys keep coming in here asking me, like, what about Ben? He hasn't played in 2 years. Give him a fucking chance. We stay on his shit. You just stay on him. But we're here to give him positive affirmations. I'm a little confused by the grammar in that one. But point taken. Kyrie is calling him out, but Kyrie's also got his back.
Yeah, I love that quote as much as like Kyrie quotes can be a mixed bag, but I was a fan of that one. The biggest thing that I had was like, I just wanted him to pick up Giannis earlier. I think if you give Giannis any chance to generate a head of steam, you're asking for trouble. They ended up moving Ben off the ball, letting him dig it, Giannis's handle. And Kyrie was really good playing up in his handle, but they waited until like way later in the game to do that. Offensively, what's difficult is it was a 2-for-7 game. And you can legitimately say like this was Ben's most aggressive game. I do think he did some positive things, but again, it's like, I mean, that shot was clearly like, that's something you have to take. It's really hard to get the most out of playmaking without taking shots routinely that are there for you. And I mean, like you said too, it's a waiting period. Like he didn't play basketball for 2 years. He had back surgery. Like, it's not like it was just like he was just sitting around doing nothing. Like, I'm not trying to be giving him too much leeway, but at the same point, he deserves a pretty decent amount of it. So, yeah, this team overall is in a very rough spot, and they kind of need things to work out sooner than later.
Yeah, and he did have 9 assists. It wasn't like he did nothing. It was at least a Draymond level box score where there's at least one column that looked pretty decent. And I mean, the thing with Simmons is basically supposed to be the 4, but he's not quite there yet. I don't think it's really clear what his role is offensively. And so he's just kind of like, he's stuck mucking it up in the lanes a lot. And it's possible, you know, they could find a way to make that work, but it's going to take a lot of practice and a lot of kind of break-in period for them to figure out, like, how can we make spacing work when we got somebody clogging the lane?
It's fair to point out too. Like, I mean, the Bucks didn't shoot particularly well from 3 either, but Nets were 7 of 27. We're not going to see that happen routinely. Kyrie just rarely has those 0-for-7 nights from 3. That definitely played a part. But like you mentioned, the spacing overall is weird. It's tough because Nick Claxton has been really good to start the year. But having Claxton and Simmons on the court together, I mean, you have KD and Kyrie were getting double teamed every single time they came inside the arc because you don't have to worry about either of Nick or Ben. So finding those lineups and finding out how they can really find better spacing is going to be really key for this team moving forward.
Last game we're going to get into here is Toronto going into Philly and getting the win 119-109. The Sixers continue to not be able to get it done. I mean, Embiid and Maxey both had 31, but their defense is not getting it done.
Yeah, I think legitimately if you take away just half the transition opportunities that the Raptors got in this game, I think the Sixers or at least tied. And that's a reductive way to look at it, but it just felt like in watching the amount of notes that I wrote of Toronto just beat the brakes off them getting down court. Like, it happened every time. If there was a missed 3, they had a 4-on-2 advantage. Like, it was nuts to watch. And I mean, the biggest thing that I take away from this, continuing, Pascal Siakam's a superstar, man. Like, this is a top 10 player in the NBA right now. The passing leap that he's making, like, he's been a good passer, but now he's really hitting this point where if he draws a double, like, it's kind of over. Like, he's gotten to a point where he can manipulate defenses. We saw that tonight. We've seen it throughout the season so far. He was pretty nutty from 3 to start the game, went 4-4 to start. You just see, like, I mean, what he does as a driver of the basketball. He's not Giannis, obviously. Nobody's Giannis, but he brings his own kind of guile and pacing to it with really otherworldly passing that I think was huge in setting up what they did tonight and picking apart the Sixers' defense.
Yeah, long-ass dude with high shoulders, yet low-ish center of gravity. That's a rare feat. You know, somebody that he can release the ball so high up there, but then he can also, like, he can make spin moves. He can do all these little hezzies to get into his mid-range pull-ups, and all of it's clicking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, shout-out to talking about somebody clicking. Like, Gary Trent Jr. had the best game of his season tonight. 11-16 from the floor, 5-10 from deep. It felt like every opportunity there was for him to hit a big shot, they did. Every time that the Sixers started to drag back in, close what was always almost always a double-digit advantage, he was able to hit a big shot that kept them in it. He had some really solid defense on James Harden throughout the night as well. Harden had some good moments, but he really struggled with the length that they were able to present with him, with Fred VanVleet and Gary on him too. I think if you can take one positive away from the Sixers, it's at least that Joel is starting to look like himself again, at least offensively. But yeah, I'm kind of at a loss for where this team is at right now, man. I'm not saying that it's time to start up the fire doc chants, but the way that things are looking in the half court offensively and defensively, just in general, this is not the start that you wanted for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Well, I don't think Joel got booed tonight, so at least there's that.
That is something.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to get out of here before anyone boos us. He's Mark Schindler. She's Danielle Lehman. I am Jared Weiss. We'll see you next time on The Ding.
Ding, ding, y'all.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.